Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome back to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And on today's show, Bob, we're going to talk about how to manage those with less experience than yourself.
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to talk about, Jed.
Before we get there, though, we got some viewer mail from the Wiley Manager website.
Yeah, go figure. So this is somebody that took the Fast Start program. We've talked about Fast Start before here. This is leadership tools for the newer transitioning leader. And so this is one of the people that came through. And she said, I'm enjoying the program immensely and I'm finding it very helpful, which makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. I've been doing my line of work for 30 years, but the course is outlining an approach that I think will help me hit a home run in my new job. Great program. So thank you for offering us that feedback, and we wish you the very best of luck as you transition into your new role.
That's awesome. Glad to hear we're adding some value for that particular customer.
Isn't that nice?
All right, let's walk through the agenda for today on managing those with less experience.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the fact that this is actually a societal problem in most of our listening area anyways, is that there's this huge demographic issue. And then we're going to talk about what to do about it, and finally we'll leave you with three things to remember.
All right, so let's start with that demographic reality, my friend.
All right, so regular listeners to the podcast will know most of our audience is in the United States, the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. So certainly in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, there's a huge baby boom phenomenon. It's not as pronounced in the United States or in the UK, and that's because of the length of the war, right? So World War II was only 3 years for the United States, and so they didn't have as big a hit. In Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, it was 6 years. And the reason it's not as pronounced in the UK, interestingly, is because they were busy rebuilding their country. They didn't have time to build families immediately following the war. But for Canadians, Australians, and Kiwis, after 6 years, they came back, and it was time to get on the job.
They made babies.
Yeah, they made babies, and they made lots of them. Yeah. So there's this huge bulge of population. And again, it still exists in the US and the UK, but there's this huge bulge of population born between 1946 and 1962. So these people are 62, 63. So these people now are, if you do the math, they're sort of between 46, 47 years old and 66.
Right.
So they're just pushing up against retirement age. And then nobody was born, and this is largely because of the availability of contraception in most of these countries, as well as maybe people were just tired of having babies after 25 years of being on the job. But so there was really nobody born between sort of 1964 and about 1980, 81, 82, right in there. So there's this big gap. And then finally, a lot of those people that were born in the first baby boom, their kids started having kids, and that's sort of the ones that are under 30. So long and short of it is everybody's over 50 or under 30. And then what makes the problem demographically anyway even worse is we fired all the middle managers in the 90s. And when I say we, I mean organizations, right? So businesses just got rid of a whole layer of management or several layers.
Reorganizing.
Yeah. And at the time it was done for what they thought was the right reasons, but we're paying a price for that now, right? So we've got, as people start to retire, we've really got nobody to take their place.
Right.
And in some of these countries, not so much the U.S., but certainly the U.K., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, we say, well, we're going to import people, right? And these countries have phenomenal rates of immigration, right? So we import people. The problem is you hire an engineer from a lower latitude country. Quite often the skills and the credentials don't come over apples to apples.
Right.
And the other thing is it creates other problems for you too. It creates other cross-cultural issues. So that's not to say that you shouldn't try to, look for people abroad if that's what your strategy is. I'm just saying it's not going to fix the whole problem. Right?
Right.
So bottom line, when you go through all this stuff is that organizationally, you've got a big societal problem that you really have no control over. This is your reality. So it's really how you deal with it. Right. So bottom line is you're going to need to skill people up faster than you've had to do before. You're going to have to take some of these 20 somethings and, a generation ago, if you had 15 or 20 years, maybe to get them to a level of experience that you need them to be at to take on a role. Now you got 5 years.
Yeah, you need to get them there quicker because of the boomers are going to be retiring.
Yep, you bet. You got a big hole. So it's how fast can we skill these people up? We got to get them from 0 to 60 faster than we've ever had to do before. So it entirely changes the way that we can manage and lead our businesses.
All right. So you sold me on the problem. You sold me on the opportunity. What do we do about this?
Well, funny you should ask. Well, there you go. You follow a script well. It's what I just said. We need we need to lead our businesses differently than we have before. So there's three things I'm suggesting. It's going to sound like horrible HR speak, but I'm going to suggest this isn't an HR issue. It's a management issue, which is translation for, and people that are regular listeners will have heard this before, don't wait for your HR department to get its act together, right? Okay, you've got to do this. Okay, whether you're a senior leader or even if you're just a frontline leader dealing with your own group, you're probably having some sort of shortage of skilled help. You need to figure out how to deal with it. And if you haven't got HR support to do it, it's great if you do. If you don't, you got to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm suggesting there's three things that you need to do. The first one is you need to build a talent projection. So you need to understand exactly what your problem is and when it's going to get worse, right? So what we often see is we go and, you know, we'll point this out to people in organizations and they go, yeah, what we really need is, a busload of highly trained people to show up at the front gate on Monday, right?
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, so what are the odds of that actually happening, right?
Yeah.
Not very good. But they still hope, right? So their strategy for dealing with this significant business risk is hope.
Right.
We hope we can get more and better skilled people. Guess what? You need to do more than hope, okay? So the first one is build a talent projection, understand your problem. The second one is become a capability-building machine. And the third one is insist that your current skilled people and your current leaders be coaches.
Okay. All right, let's go through each of those three in a bit more detail.
Right. So when I say build a talent projection, again, if you've got great HR support, they're going to do it for you anyway. My experience is most HR departments don't do this, right? And they really should. But you as a manager should do it anyway. So know your situation. So how many people are you going to use every year due to your sort of normal turnover rates? How many people do you think are going to retire? And you can do this by just, do this on the back of a napkin by counting the gray hair. Right.
Your HR system has at least the age of the folks that are employed at your organization and their tenure. Perhaps you can dig those numbers up and then project them at, most people are going to be retiring at 65 or whatever the norm has been in your organization.
Absolutely. Right. So if you've got those stats, then great. If you don't, if you got 10 people that work for you, guess how long they're going to stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, if you don't have the HR support, don't wait, right? Do a gray hair count, okay?
Yeah.
How many people are you going to lose to retirement? We talked about that. And what will the demands of the growth be on your business, right? So again, if you're lucky enough to be in an industry, an organization that's growing, you got to fight this another way too, because the first part just says, okay, well, how many people are we going to lose? So therefore, how many people do we have to replace just to remain stable?
Yeah.
Right? So if I've got 10 engineers in my business area, but the problem is if my business is growing like 5 years from now, I might need 20 engineers.
Sure.
Right? So you need to figure that out too. So figure out what your gap is going to be in skilled help. And then you'll understand the size of the problem and the size of your risk.
Yeah. In terms of understanding your current situation too, we'll probably have to deal with this in a separate podcast, but whether we call it succession planning or replacement planning, there's different methodologies you can use to help you understand positionally by job, perhaps, where some of those large gaps do exist for you.
Right. Yeah. And you know what, as a manager, the other upside of doing this too, is you may be able to get some attention where you couldn't before. Right. So if you went and you say, okay, well, the example I just used, okay, I got 10 engineers, I'm going to lose seven of them, or I'm going to lose, three of them. I'm only going to have seven left. So, in the next couple of years, I'm going to have to hire at least three. And I think I'm going to need another five anyway, because the business is growing. You take that to your boss or to the HR group and you say, look, I've got a significant business risk here, right? We're intending to do this and this and this, and I'm going to have half the number of skilled people that I need.
Right.
So if you can get out in front of that, and some industries have done this really well, right? I mean, I worked in the nuclear power generation industry for a while, and they've got a pretty significant demographic problem, and they figured it out like 5 or 6 years before the big wave hit. So good for them, right? Not many companies or organizations get out in front that well.
No kidding.
Yep.
All right. So understanding your current situation and do a bit of a talent projection out to help you understand where some of those gaps might be. What else can we do to help with this particular problem?
Right. Well, the second part is, presumably after you do the first part, you're going to realize the scope of your problem. Great.
Sure.
So now what do you do about it? Okay. Well, you need to become a capability building machine, because again, that busload of skilled people is not going to show up at your front door, right? So
No. You
can hope, right?
Yep.
Or you can, there's all kinds of other things that we've done to date that are probably not going to work, right? So again, we talked a little bit about immigration issues but you need to get out in front of this in some degree. So again, if you're a good organizations will build relationships with technical schools or trade schools or whatever the nature of their skill shortage is, right? But at the very least, once you get people in the front door, you need to become much better at building their capability than we ever have been before. right?
Accelerated leadership development.
Yeah, well, and technical development too, right? Sure. So just bringing more capability to your workforce, whatever that is. So that's going to be highly situational depending on where you are, right? But
yeah.
So you need to figure out how to – this is a – you know, a multi-pronged thing. The first thing is that so all those gray-haired people that you see leaving, right, they're going to – how do you empty the contents of their brains? You know, so we talked about the whole workforce being over 50 or under 30. How do you get the 50-pluses to empty the contents of their brains into the 30-somethings?
Yeah.
You know, we like to think it's going to happen organically, and it just won't. Little bits will rub off, but in a serious way, it won't. So you need to have a structured approach for how you do that, mm-hmm. right? The second thing is that, you know, training is good – it's a good thing to do sometimes. The problem is that people think that the only way out of this jackpot is, well, we'll just do training, right? Well, training should be one small, an important part, but nevertheless a small part of your overall strategy for how to deal with this, right?
Indeed, yep.
And so other things that you can do are, again, some ideas of mentoring, job shadowing, stretch assignments, and certainly coaching.
Yeah, we've podcasted previously and where we've mentioned this idea of your development should be 70% on-the-job experiential type of learning. 20% of that should be, you know, the coaching / mentoring part of it, and only 10% should be targeted towards, you know, sitting in a classroom and doing training events.
Yeah, I think that was in the podcast we did called High Impact Development, and if you're interested in that, go take a listen, because it's an important part, because organizations default to training, and you know, again, training can be good or not good, but the problem is if you're only doing training, you're going to fail. You need to do something else besides training.
Indeed. All right. So that's the second idea is become a capability building machine. The third one is around those 50-somethings, those more experienced folks that are in your workplace, insisting that they become coaches, even if it's not something they're comfortable doing. You need to help them get that done.
Yeah. And this is maybe part – this is 2B rather than 3 maybe, because this is part of being a capability building machine. But, you know, again, if you think you're going to be in this jackpot where you're going to have an inexperienced workforce, you're there already, then your leaders have to be coaches. They have to be teachers, right? And the number one priority of those leaders in those situations is to build the skill in the organization, right?
Yeah.
Because, again, if you've got excellent people, right, that are 50-plus and you don't inspire them to bring out the excellence in others, then that excellent person walks out the door. You lose that excellence, right? Where what we want to do –
That was a lot of excellence, Bob.
Wasn't it, though? I feel like Tom Peters. In Search of Excellence, for the reference there for people that didn't get it. And so you need to – so again, if this is important in your organization, you need to hire, promote, reward, and reinforce people that develop other people, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get there unless the organization does something about this. So again, you could be in a situation where people really don't think that – they think that it's somehow something they manage off the side of their desk, or that it's something that is somehow additional or on top of their regular job. No, your job actually is to develop people. That's it.
Yep. Set those expectations up front.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to the three things to remember.
All righty then.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
So the first one is that this is not an HR problem. So I guess technically it is, but I would argue this is a management problem and a significant risk to many businesses. So there again, if you got great HR support, then consider yourself lucky, because that's rare. But if you don't wait for HR to get its act together, act without them.
All right. And number two,
Don't let leaders off the hook because they're really good. Right. So you've heard about this. And what I mean by that is that you've got leaders or other, you know, really highly skilled technicians in the business, and they might be horrible teachers. Right. And you have to say, well, you know, again, I'm not all that interested in your technical ability, because that walks out the door when you do. I need you to transfer that ability to others.
Excellent. And number three?
Think beyond training, right? So training, great. Go ahead and do some training. But again, if that's all you do, you're going to fail.
All right, cool. And we have other podcasts we've done in the past too that are somehow closely linked to this one. We've done one on the Wiley Manager coaching model. So if you're looking for some help to those folks that you're now going to be asked to be teachers, the coaching model can certainly help those folks go through those conversations more effectively. We did one on good boss, bad boss, be a better boss. We've done some on mentoring before as well.
Yep. We mentioned high impact development earlier, and you can pick those all off on the Wiley Manager website, or if we've podcasted in the last year on this, it will be on iTunes, but we only leave a year's worth of podcasts up there. The others you have to go to the Wiley Manager website to pick up.
Excellent. And what are some of the podcasts we got coming up in the next few episodes, Bob?
Coming soon, Jed, to a theater near you is we're going to do a follow-up to one we did a few months ago on being overwhelmed at work, just because we got some feedback on that that we feel the need to respond to.
Okay.
And we're going to do the Circles of Focus, which, you know, sounds like some weird sort of
Lord of the Rings thing.
Hobbit
or something.
Thing, yeah. But actually, it's about how to target your action and activities. And we're going to do Project Management 101.
All right, cool. And for the last little while, for those podcast listeners, if you go check out our website, we have a collection of cheat sheets called Be a Mentor, Not a Micromanager. So each one of the podcasts we do comes with a corresponding cheat sheet. We've bundled a few of those together, and they're available free for you at the Wiley Manager website.
Right on the homepage.
Excellent.
All right, sir.
Thanks for your time today, Bob.
See you soon, Jed.
Thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager Podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.